Welcome to day 147 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I'm glad that you've joined me today. Today we are finishing the book of 1 Chronicles, and we will also read Psalm 127. The end of the book of Chronicles takes us to the end of the life of King David and how just before his death he prepared so much silver, gold, bronze in preparation for the building of the temple by his son Solomon. We will see Solomon being anointed as king today, and we will also come to the place in 1 Chronicles where David's death is recorded. And then we will move on to the beautiful Psalm 127, which was written by King Solomon and is well known with its opening verse of, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." So I believe you'll enjoy today's reading, and we have much to discuss at the end in our devotional time. So beginning at 1 Chronicles chapter 26, starting at verse 1. "For the divisions of the gatekeepers there were of the Korahites, Meshelemiah the son of Korah, of the sons of Asaph. Meshelemiah had sons, Zechariah the firstborn, Jediel the second, Zebediah the third, Jothniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Johanan the sixth, Elihonai the seventh, Obed-Edom had sons, Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sakar the fourth, Nethanel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, and Peulathai the eighth. God had indeed blessed him. Also, to his son Shemaiah, sons were born who ruled over the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. The sons of Shemaiah were Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad, whose brothers Elihu and Semachiah were valiant men. All these were of the sons of Obed-Edom. They and their sons and their relatives were able men with strength for the service. 62 from Obed-Edom. Meshelemiah had sons and relatives, 18 valiant men. Also Hosa, one of the sons of Merari, had sons. Shimri the first, although he was not the firstborn, his father made him first. Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth, all the sons and relatives of Hosa were 13. To these divisions of the gatekeepers, the chief men were given duties like their relatives to minister in the house of the Lord. They cast lots, the small and the great alike, according to their father's households for every gate. The lot to the east fell to Shelemiah. Then they cast lots for his son Zechariah, a counselor with insight, and his lot came out to the north. For Obed-Edom it fell to the south, and to his sons went the storehouse. For Shupim and Hosa it was to the west, by the gate of Sheleketh, on the ascending highway. Guard corresponded to guard. On the east there were 6 Levites, on the north 4 daily, on the south 4 daily, and at the storehouse 2 by 2. At the parbar on the west there were 4 at the highway and 2 at the parbar. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers of the sons of Korah and of the sons of Merari. The Levites, their relatives, had charge of the treasures of the house of God and of the treasures of the dedicated gifts. The sons of Ladan, the sons of the Gershonites belonging to Ladan, namely the Jehielites, were the heads of their father's households belonging to Ladan the Gershonite. The sons of Jehieli, Zetham and Joel his brother, had charge of the treasures of the house of the Lord. As for the Amramites, the Izrahites, the Hebronites, and the Uzielites, Shebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was officer over the treasures. His relatives by Eleazar were Rehabiah his son, Jeshiah his son, Joram his son, Zikri his son, Shelomoth his son. This Shelomoth and his relatives had charge of all the treasures of the dedicated gifts which King David and the heads of the father's households, the commanders of thousands and hundreds, and the commanders of the army had dedicated. They dedicated part of the spoil won in battles to repair the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer had dedicated, and Saul the son of Kish, Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah, everyone who had dedicated anything, all of this was in the care of Shelomoth and his relatives. As for the Izharites, Chenaniah and his sons were assigned to outside duties for Israel as officers and judges. As for the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his relatives, 1,700 capable men had charge of the affairs of Israel west of the Jordan, for all the work of the Lord and the service of the king. As for the Hebronites, Jerijah the chief, these Hebronites were investigated according to their genealogies and their fathers' households in the 40th year of David's reign, and men of outstanding capability were found among them at Jazer of Gilead. And his relatives, capable men, were 2,700 in number, heads of fathers' households. And King David made them overseers of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites concerning all the affairs of God and of the king. Chapter 27. Now this is the enumeration of the sons of Israel, the heads of fathers' households, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and their officers who served the king in all the affairs of the divisions which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, each division numbering 24,000. Joshobeam, the son of Zabdiel, had charge of the first division for the first month, and in his division were 24,000. He was from the sons of Perez, and was chief of all the commanders of the army for that first month. Dodai, the Ahohite, and his division had charge of the division for the second month, Mikloth being the chief officer, and in his division were 24,000. The third commander of the army for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, as chief, and in his division were 24,000. This Benaiah was the mighty man of the 30, and had charge of 30, and over his division was Amizabad, his son. The fourth for the fourth month was Asahel, the brother of Joab, and Zebediah, his son, after him, and in his division were 24,000. The fifth for the fifth month was the commander Shamhuth the Izrahite, and in his division were 24,000. The sixth for the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikesh the Tekoite, and in his division were 24,000. The seventh for the seventh month was Helez the Pelonite, of the sons of Ephraim, and in his division were 24,000. The eighth for the eighth month was Sibbecai, the Hushathite of the Zerahites, and in his division were 24,000. The ninth for the ninth month was Abiezer, the Anathothite of the Benjamites, and in his division were 24,000. The tenth for the tenth month was Maharai, the Nephothite of the Zerites, and in his division were 24,000. The 11th for the 11th month was Benaiah, the Pirathonite of the sons of Ephraim, and in his division were 24,000. The 12th for the 12th month was Heldai, the Netophathite of Othniel, and in his division were 24,000. Now in charge of the tribes of Israel, chief officer for the Reubenites, was Eleazar the son of Zichri. For the Simeonites, Shephatiah the son of Micah. For Levi, Hashabiah the son of Kemuel. For Aaron, Zadok. For Judah, Elihu, one of David's brothers. For Issachar, Omri the son of Michael. For Zebulun, Ishmaiah the son of Obadiah. For Naphtali, Jeremoth the son of Azriel. For the sons of Ephraim, Hoshea the son of Azaziah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel the son of Pedaiah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh in Gilead, Edo the son of Zechariah. For Benjamin, Jaziel the son of Abner. For Dan, Azarel the son of Jeroham. These were the princes of the tribes of Israel. But David did not count those 20 years of age and under, because the Lord had said he would multiply Israel as the stars of heaven. Joab the son of Zeruiah had begun to count them, but did not finish. And because of this, wrath came upon Israel, and the number was not included in the account of the chronicles of King David. Now Azmaveth, the son of Adiel, had charge of the king's storehouses. And Jonathan, the son of Uzziah, had charge of the storehouses in the country, in the cities, in the villages, and in the towers. Ezri, the son of Chelub, had charge of the agricultural workers who tilled the soil. Shimei, the Ramathite, had charge of the vineyards. And Zabdi, the Shipmite, had charge of the produce of the vineyards stored in the wine cellars. Baal-Hanan, the Gederite, had charge of the olive and sycamore trees in Shephelah. And Joash had charge of the stores of oil. Shitrai, the Sharonite, had charge of the cattle which were grazing in Sharon, and Shaphat, the son of Adlai, had charge of the cattle in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, had charge of the camels, and Jediah, the Marathonite, had charge of the donkeys. Jaziz, the Hagrite, had charge of the flocks. All these were overseers of the property which belonged to King David. Also, Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a man of understanding, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmonai, tutored the king's sons. Ahithophel was counselor to the king, and Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. Jehoiada the son of Benaiah and Abiathar succeeded Ahithophel, and Joab was the commander of the king's army. Chapter 28. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the commanders of the divisions that served the king, and the commanders of thousands, and the commanders of hundreds, and the overseers of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, with the officials and the mighty men, even all the valiant men. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brethren and my people. I had intended to build a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. So I had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you are a man of war and have shed blood. Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be a leader, and in the house of Judah, my father's house, and among the sons of my father, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. Of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over all Israel. He said to me, your son Solomon is the one who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances, as is done now. So now, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek after all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may possess the good land and bequeath it to your sons after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act. Then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch of the temple, its buildings, its storehouses, its upper rooms, its inner rooms, and the room for the mercy seat, and the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, and for all the surrounding rooms, for the storehouses of the house of God, and for the storehouses of the dedicated things. Also, for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the utensils of service in the house of the Lord. For the golden utensils, the weight of gold for all utensils for every kind of service. For the silver utensils, the weight of silver for all the utensils for every kind of service. And the weight of gold for the golden lampstands and their golden lamps, with the weight of each lampstand and its lamps. And the weight of the silver for the silver lampstands, with the weight of each lampstand and its lamps, and the weight of the silver for the silver lampstands, according to the use of each lampstand, and the gold by the weight for the tables of showbread, for each table, and the silver for the silver tables, and the forks, the basins, and the pitchers of pure gold, and for the golden bowls with the weight for each bowl, and for the silver bowls with the weight for each bowl, and for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and the gold for the model of the chariot, even the cherubim that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the details of this pattern. Then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Now behold, there are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God, and every willing man of any skill will be with you in all the work for all kinds of service. Their officials also and all the people will be entirely at your command. Chapter 29. Then King David said to the entire assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now with all my ability I have provided for the house of my God, the gold for the things of gold and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony and the stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. Moreover, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of silver and gold I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I have already provided for the holy temple, namely 3,000 talents of gold and of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings. Of gold for the things of gold, and of silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the rulers of the fathers' households, and the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, with the overseers over the king's work, offered willingly. And for the service of the house of God they gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold and 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of brass and 100,000 talents of iron. Whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, and King David also rejoiced greatly. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you, and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. Since I know, O my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now, with joy, I have seen your people who are present here and make their offerings willingly to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, preserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and direct their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king. On the next day they made sacrifices to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and drank that day before the Lord with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king a second time. And they anointed him as ruler for the Lord, and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the officials, the mighty men, and also the sons of King David pledged allegiance to King Solomon. The Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed on him royal majesty, which had not been on any king before him in Israel. Now David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. The period which he reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned in Hebron 7 years, and Jerusalem 33 years. Then he died in a ripe old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and his son Solomon reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David, from first to last, are written in the chronicles of Samuel the seer, in the chronicles of Nathan the prophet, and in the chronicles of Gad the seer. With all his reign, his power, and the circumstances which came on him, on Israel, and on all the kingdoms of the land. Psalm 127. Prosperity comes from the Lord, a song of ascents of Solomon. Verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the first two verses that we heard read from Psalm 127. And I want to remind you, as I read these words again, that the author of this psalm was King Solomon, David's son, who succeeded him on the throne as king of Israel. He wrote these profound words, Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. He wrote, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." Now, these words are very profound. They give us some insight into God's way of looking at the works of man. In other words, when a man goes about trying to build something great, the Lord's way of looking at it is much different very often than the way a man would look at it. We have seen over the course of history men trying to build great things. You could travel the world and see many amazing sights that were built by man. You could start in Egypt and look at the pyramids. You could go throughout Europe and see some of the most amazing and beautiful architectural examples in European cathedrals and palaces and castles, and wonder and be amazed at those things that were built by the hands of men. Yet God tells us something very interesting here through this psalm, that unless the Lord himself is involved in the building of a thing, whether it's a house, whether it's a building, whether it's a business, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a kingdom, then whoever is laboring in building it is laboring in vain. And that word vain there from the original Hebrew actually means worthless. It also means emptiness. Imagine that. Someone puts his whole life into building some great kingdom, some great business, some great corporation, and yet God calls it worthless or emptiness if God himself was not involved in the design, the building, the sustaining of that thing. So this is something for us as believers to take very seriously. God wants to be involved in everything that you are doing, everything that you are building. And all of us are building something, if only a legacy that we're leaving to our children. We're building something. And is God involved in the building of what you are building? If he is not, it will only be emptiness when it's all said and done. It may look good from the outside. It may impress people for a season. But the end result will be emptiness and vanity as far as God is concerned when the final curtain is pulled back in all of history and eternity. Historically, in the Bible, Solomon was one of the most prolific builders recorded in biblical text. He lived during a season in Israel's history when there was peace on every side. He was literally on top of the world in terms of his respect that he had from all the surrounding nations. In fact, 1 Kings chapter 10, which we're going to be reading soon, tells us this insight about King Solomon. It says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. This man had wisdom of every kind, natural wisdom, and he also had spiritual wisdom. And as far as his natural wisdom went, he became this prolific builder. He built fantastic palaces, not just a single palace, palaces. He built the great temple, referred to as the Temple of Solomon, which had been planned by his father David, and which David had given much preparation by gathering silver, gold, and bronze, and all sorts of things needed for the building of that temple. But that was just one of the great exploits in the area of building that Solomon completed during his lifetime. When we read 2 Chronicles chapter 8, we're going to hear a virtual laundry list of many of the projects and buildings that Solomon built. But after hearing this list, you'll hear a scripture that sums it all up. It basically says this: whatever Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and throughout all the territory that he ruled, he built. He was amazingly gifted. He was given tremendous wisdom from the Lord, and he was a prolific builder. But we will also hear, as we go through the life and reign of Solomon, something very sad, that everything that Solomon built ended up being destroyed as Israel descended into chaos and disunity, and the kingdom becomes split when his son takes the throne. And as the history of Israel is described in the scriptures that we're going to read in the next few months, you'll find out that that everything Solomon built ended up having been a vain exercise simply because it didn't last. Solomon's temple doesn't stand anymore. The palaces Solomon built don't exist anymore. And Solomon's reign, which started out very well in the Lord, trusting God, relying on God, asking God for wisdom for his life as king, ended up deteriorating completely. He didn't follow the Lord, and he fell into all kinds of sin that was specifically forbidden by the Lord for the king of Israel. You might remember when we read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, that there was given a specific commandment to the king. And it reads this way: when he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. So the king that was, and this was written before Israel had a king, but in Deuteronomy, it was recorded that the Lord was commanding that when that day came and Israel had a king ruling the nation of Israel, it was the responsibility of that king to take the word of God, write it. He had to write a copy of it out by hand, and then he was to read it all the days of his life so that he would learn to respect and honor God and follow carefully what the Lord said and never become so puffed up because he's the king and consider himself better than his brothers and turn aside from the Lord. So there was a very strong word to the king written in the book of Deuteronomy. And we know Solomon started out well, but he didn't end well. Because of his disobedience, not following the Lord, not following his commandments, everything that he worked to build during his lifetime was eventually taken away from the people of Israel. We don't know when Solomon wrote Psalm 127. We don't know when he recorded these words: unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, retire late, eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. We don't know if he wrote those words when he first started out in the kingdom, knowing that he needed to depend upon God or it was never going to work. Perhaps he wrote those under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit at that point in his life. Or perhaps he wrote it near the end of his life when he was getting a revelation of how far he had fallen from doing this very thing, allowing the Lord to be the one building, allow the Lord to be the one directing, allow the Lord to be the one guiding him in every step of his life, because he certainly had fallen far from the place of allowing God to be the builder in his life, because he had gotten to the point where he was disobeying God so profoundly that he did exactly what God had said that he should not do. One of the things that was clearly forbidden for kings to do was to accumulate horses and chariots and gold to himself. And that was something that Solomon did in abundance. And one of the other things he was forbidden or explicitly prohibited against doing was collecting wives and concubines. And as we will hear in the next few weeks of readings about Solomon's kingdom, he ended up by the end of his life having 700 wives and 300 concubines, completely disobeying the word of the Lord. We know that the Lord wanted the king of Israel to live in submission to God and under the authority of the word of God. But we also know that that's true for our lives as well. God wants us to live in submission to him in everything that we do in life. and under the authority of Scripture, of the Word of God. I believe that God wants His people to be successful in life and to achieve great things in the power of the Holy Spirit in all areas of life on this earth. I believe God wants Christians to be the best in every field, whether it's medical profession or in the education field or in the business field, any area of life. I believe God wants Christians to be at the top because that is His design, that His people, inspired by His Spirit, walking in obedience to Him and to His Word, will prosper in everything they put their hand to. And yet, you can prosper without God. You can build great buildings without God. You could build an amazing business without God. But in the end, when it is all said and done, it will be nothing but vanity. The story of the Titanic comes to mind when I think of amazing accomplishments and achievements in the area of building. At the time that the Titanic was built back in 1912, it was the largest ship afloat at the time that it was launched, and it was definitely the most luxurious and opulent ship that had ever been built. And you probably are familiar with the story of the Titanic because on its maiden voyage, after being out to sea for only 4 days, that ship collided with an iceberg, causing the deaths of 1,500 people in one of the deadliest maritime disasters ever recorded. As I said earlier, I believe God wants His people to be a people who have great achievements and great successes in this world. But without the Lord, it will only come to nothing. One of the most famous statements ever made about the Titanic when it was first launched was a statement that was credited to one of the employees of the ship line that built the Titanic, and the statement was, "Not even God can sink this ship." Of course, such a statement is untrue. It also runs completely contrary to Scripture, which says, without God, you're going to labor in vain to build anything. And if you do build it, it's going to be complete vanity, worthless, and emptiness. The end result of the Titanic's maiden voyage was disaster. It caused heartbreak, heartache that even resounds to this day with the sheer number of lives that were lost in the sinking of that huge vessel. God doesn't want anything that we put our hands to in this life to end in disaster or end as something worthless or vain or empty. God wants everything you put your hand to prosper, to be a testimony to the goodness of the Lord, a testimony to the faithfulness of God, a testimony to what it is like to walk with God, hear from God, obey God, and then see God do wonders through your life. Solomon started out well. He started out following God. God began to bless him, increase him, and then he drifted away from the Lord in the midst of his prosperity and his phenomenal success and the admiration that he had from not only his own people in his nation, but from the nations around him. When the Lord begins to bless you and you're building something and God's prospering it, take to heart the words of Solomon that if you don't continue to allow God to be involved in what you are doing, what you are building in your life, the day will come where it will end up like Solomon. You may have built some great looking things in the natural, to the natural eyes, and yet the result will end up empty and worthless. Let us be a people that walks with the Lord and always has God involved in what we're doing, and we are always following Him. We're always building what He wants to build. We're doing it the way God wants it done. We're sensitive to when He says stop or go or move to the left, move to the right, wait a little while, whatever direction may come, because you go to the Lord in prayer and you seek Him for His direction, and He's the one building the house, so to speak, the work, the ministry, the lives that you have charge of, your children, your family, your business, whatever it may be, that God is the one directing the show and not yourself. Or that you don't get to the point where after God's blessed you, you end up like Solomon thinking it was all you. Which is, Solomon ended up proud and pursuing things in his own strength, which turned into a disaster, and he ended so very poorly, as we're about to hear in the next few weeks. Let's take to heart this word: unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We want to be a people that we can rest in the Lord, according to this promise in verse 2 of Psalm 127, because God gives to His beloved even in his sleep. So God bless you. Keep that in mind as you go through your week. Stay dependent upon the Lord, and then the prosperity that God brings to you and to your life will leave a legacy of blessing that extends beyond your own lifetime and to the next generation. May the Lord bless you and guide you, giving you direction as you go through the rest of your week. I'd like to invite you to visit our website, www.hiddenwithchrist.com, and you will be able to find more teaching resources that I believe will be a blessing to your life. Also, check out our Facebook page for My Everyday Bible.